Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Dan Burris. Dan has been on the radio show for the last 20-some years talking about strategic insights, talking about the trends. And so here he is back again as we come to the end of the year to give us some insight into what's going on in the world. And you know, Dan, I was thinking about it, knowing that you were coming in, that when I look back over even just my own life, which seems to have gone very quickly, I look back at how things have changed. But it seemed like we had computers and we had technology and we had cars. Everything did change, but it seemed like it was slower. All of a sudden now, it seems like we are in warp speed and things are changing so quickly with, well, everybody's talking about AI, of course, but just how do businesses, as we go into this new year and as we are looking for building our businesses, how do people start to get their arms around something that changes so quickly?
Well, that's a great question, and thank you for having me back on again. You know, you're absolutely right. Things were always changing, but they were changing at a much slower pace, although that pace was accelerating over time. And if you look at technology-driven change, that's been accelerating at an exponential pace, which is different. I mean, a non-exponential pace is 1, 2, 3, 4. An exponential is 2, 4, 6, 8. And really, since the pandemic, we have technology accelerating at beyond exponential speeds. And that means that, and remember, technology influences everything. How we live, how we work, how we play, how we get information. And if that is accelerating, it's accelerating everything else. So if you don't like change, you're not going to like the future. And there's an old saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks for those of us that have been around for a while. My answer to that is, well, thank God humans are not dogs. We can learn new things. We don't have to be technologists. We already have people that are technologists. But if we could become more aware of the forces that are shaping the future, we can get a handle on it. And as you asked me in the beginning, how do businesses of any size keep up? That was the word that you used. And let me say that keeping up is kind of a fool's game in a way, because you're keeping up with somebody else that's ahead of you. And what I want us to do is to be able to jump ahead with confidence and the uncertainty in a seemingly uncertain world. Now, let me just take a second on that. We have so much uncertainty now. More than ever before, we have uncertainty. And people would say, well, the only thing you can be certain about is death and taxes. And I would say, well, right now it's fall, next will be winter, followed by spring, I'll be right. In other words, there are cycles that have been around forever, biological cycles, even the stock market has cycles. You know, the stock market's going down, it won't go down forever. It won't go up forever. There are indeed cycles. But there's another kind of change that I like to talk about, and that is the exponential type, the type that is not a cycle. It's not swinging back and forth. Once it happens, it unfolds faster and faster. Kind of like once you've got a smartphone, you don't go back to the dumb phone. Once the people in India get refrigeration for their home, they don't say, we don't need air conditioning and refrigeration. those are one-way streets that have predictable problems as well as predictable opportunities. So in this interview, I'd love for us to dive into more of how can businesses find certainty and innovate around that?
You know, Dan, when I think of just the certainty that we're looking for, and I think often people think about keeping up with technology, keeping up is just a money issue. But it's this whole psychological issue of people really framing out that they can do something. They can do, as you always say, how do you put it, your statement about foresight, of having foresight of what the future is bringing. How can people get their mind in place for that?
Well, you nailed it. Actually, technology is never a barrier. It's our mindset.
Yes.
We need to, in general, open our minds, open our eyes, open our heart, and look a little bit more at the abundance that's in front of us. There's never been more opportunity than ever before on planet Earth to not just change but transform every business product, process, service than any other time. We're doing things, Karen, today that was impossible 2 years ago. Heck, a couple of years ago, kids weren't using AI to do their homework. We used AI, and in a month and a half, thanks to using AI, developed the first antibiotic in 60 years. We also used AI recently. This took about a day and a half to look at 32 million different substances to find eight that could replace 80% of the lithium in batteries, and these are common elements. That would, by the way, I just mentioned two giant game changers. There are so many game changers, I can't help but get excited about the future because I can see every problem we've got on planet Earth, there already is a known solution. We don't have to invent something new even. There's so much out there, and as you know, my research company, which is in its 42nd year now, we look at global innovations in all areas of technology on a global level. And boy, I get excited every day. And as I travel around the world, and as you know, I do a lot of that as I give speeches and so on and do consulting, I meet so many young people in every country that are bright bulbs. There are so many bright bulbs. Now, there are a few dim bulbs out there, but there are so many bright bulbs that are not going to sit back and let everything go downhill. They see the future, and they are going to make it brighter. So if you were to ask me, am I optimistic, I would say yes. Number one, pessimists never do anything. Why? They know it'll fail. So it's only optimists that ever get anything done in the first place. Secondly, how can I not be optimistic? And that's why, by the way, I published recently, just you're one of the first to see it, my 25 Tech Trends Shaping the Future for 2026 and Beyond. And why would listeners want to even look at technology here? I mean, many of us aren't technologists because, again, it changes how we live, work, and play. You don't have to be a technologist. I want you to become aware.
Dan, what's the downside to a business not becoming aware?
What a great question. Thank you. That's why you've been doing this for so long. You ask great questions. Today and going forward, you're either going to be more relevant or less relevant. There is no middle. You can't coast. You're either going to be the disruptor or the disrupted. There is no middle. And what I want us to become, all of us, is positive disruptors of our career, of our retirement. In other words, let's make it better. Let's shape it. Actually, rather than just predict the future, what I've been most excited about during my entire career is getting people excited about actively shaping the future rather than passively receiving it. In other words, let's wait and see what'll happen. That's passive receiving. Let's see what's going to happen with all the changes that are taking place. That's a wait and see. And by the way, in business, if you got a wait and see attitude, you're going to be out of business pretty soon because the world is changing. Have you noticed?
Dan, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about your 25 trends that you mentioned for 2026. So we're getting like a little insight here to be a little bit more proactive, but also to have an idea of, as you make those goals and as you're thinking what your next year is going to look like. We're going to give you some tips, and with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Dan Burris, and he is a leading technology forecaster and a disruptive innovation individual who is talking to us today about how we can approach this 2026 with our eyes wide open. He mentioned our heart and having a heart for change. And, you know, I've talked so much about positive disruption, and I think often when people think of the word disruption, they automatically think that that's a bad thing. But the truth of it is, you can be a positive disruptor in many ways in your life. And so, Dan, let's talk a little bit about that. And then let's talk about the new 25, top 25 technology hard trends that are going to shape 2026 and beyond.
Well, a few comments about disruption and what I like to call positive disruption. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, does he dislike disruption? No, it's all the people he's disrupting. You see, we can do that, even if we're small, even if you're a one-person show. And that is, how would I define it? Using or transforming, not just changing, but transforming our processes, our products, our services to make them more relevant, to accelerate innovation and growth. And so it's looking at how could things be better. Matter of fact, let me get into something I think your listeners might enjoy. I've shared this only in a few speeches, but people seem to really like it. And I put out that everything sucks and that's perfect. And they usually laugh just like you did. Now, what do I mean by that? Because they said, and that's perfect. Well, if everything was perfect, the future wouldn't need you or I. Because everything's perfect. But because everything can be made better, everything. Think about if you're sitting in a seat right now, could that seat be better? Well, yeah, of course it could be better. Could your television be better? Yeah. Could your house be better? Yeah. Could the pen you use be better? Matter of fact, everything could be better. Great. Actually, that's perfect because there's a future for all of us. We can make everything better. So again, the opportunity is off the charts if we just open our minds. And again, why did I say open our hearts? Because, if we give a little more and we connect a little more and we learn to love a little more, we find a brighter future for ourselves and for others. I think, you know, that's part of what made us great in the past and will make us great in the future.
Dan, when you're out working with businesses and talking, and Dan's a futurist, and he goes to most and many, I would say, of the top companies out there in the world and helps them to understand better what they can do and what the trends are and what they might be considering and looking at. What stops people? Is it just fear? Is it a failure? Is it doing something different? Is it a comfort level? Is it the shame of maybe failing? What is it that stops people when you paint this picture of how you can change everything? I mean, I'm ready to go with you. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
well,
me.
I was just a little earlier in the week, I was in Telluride meeting with the top executives from a major company. When they launch a product, how big is it? When they launch a product, if it doesn't make $100 million in the first year, it's a failure. That's how big a company we're talking about.
Wow.
And, $9 billion in revenue every year, you know, that kind of thing. So I was in Telluride working with them. And like in so many, what is the biggest barrier? Because they're very successful. That's the barrier. If you're really successful, why change? Why do we? But see, the reality is the world is changing. And if they coast on their success, they'll be in trouble because the world has changed, have they noticed? Now, luckily, they were smart enough to start noticing that, bring me in. And what I was doing was helping them to transform versus change the business and what they do and how they serve customers. And what is the difference between change and transformation? That might be a good question I'll answer for myself here. And that is, change always comes from the outside in, causing you to crisis manage, put out fires. Transformation, whether it's a personal transformation or a business transformation, always comes from the inside out. And boy, I like that because that gives me some control. I want to be controlling my future, not just reacting all the time to the things around me that are happening. It's one of the reasons why I created this report, to give you some things to see and to focus on and to experiment with and ask yourself, how would this affect my career? How would this affect my retirement if you're in retirement? How would this affect my business if you have a business? And not just affect it in a reactionary way, but let's be what I want people to do is more anticipatory. How do I, now that I know this tool is getting bigger and more powerful every year, how can I use it to create something positive, to take advantage of it, to be a positive disruptor?
So when you're talking to the companies, who are you talking to? Who makes these decisions to pass it on into their business? How do they do that? For our listeners who, there is a manager listening or the owner of the company is listening, who actually has got to be in place in order to do some of these new things that you're recommending?
What I found is if the top doesn't get it, it doesn't happen. Because if there's game-changing innovation starting in the middle and the top doesn't get it, it gets stopped. So, you know, it's important. And I just don't mean the top person. That's one. But, you know, the team and the executive team and so on, they have to start embracing the new changes and realities and start seeing, again, the opportunity. You might remember some of you using a BlackBerry. And if you remember, that was the company was Research in Motion, people that made the BlackBerry. And that created a great change. It allowed us to do our emails wirelessly, right? That's why we all liked it. And it allowed us to keep a calendar in there. Wow, kind of a cool little device. That was a change. The iPhone, of course, wasn't a change. It was a transformation. And when the CEO of BlackBerry saw the first iPhone, you could still find a video of this, he was being interviewed. He looked at it and said, why would anyone want to watch television on a small screen like that? Now, why did he say that? He was in a protect and defend mode, protecting and defending the BlackBerry. He should have been in what I call an embrace and extend mode, saying, wow, look at this iPhone. What does Apple not have? They don't have a global presence. We do. They don't have a global secure network that's wireless. We do. You know what? We could take their ideas and turn it into a BlackBerry, and we could dominate. By the way, they could have. They had a moment in time where they could have, but they were in protect and defend instead of embrace and extend. So what I'm finding is success is a barrier, number one. And then you used another important phrase, fear. And you know I started out teaching biology and physics. I was an educator at first, and then I started a company. And when I went to start my first company, having never had a business course ever, there was the fear of failure. So there was that fear. But then I did something really good. I thought to myself, hey, I got more than one fear. I got a whole bunch of fears. So I laid out all of my fears. I had a lot of them. And I found out that the fear of failure wasn't as big a deal as the fear of regret, because I didn't want to be an old person still wishing I had done it. So instead of having one fear block you, why don't you diagnose all of your fears, lay them out, and see what's really there? You might find a way forward.
That is such great advice. You've used the word a couple times, hard trends, and that you've done the 25 hard trends for 2026. Can you really identify again hard trends and then tell us why is it important for us to be looking at hard trends rather than soft trends?
Thank you. Well, there's no shortage of trends. And of course, the problem forever has been which ones will happen and which ones won't. And the beauty is I've come up with a methodology, to make it simple, that all trends are either hard or soft. If they're a hard trend, it's based on a future fact that will happen. Baby boomers will not chronologically get younger. They're going to get older. Hard trend. You know, we went from 5G wireless to 6G, 4G to 5G. Next will be 6 and followed by 7. The AI is not going to go away. It's going to get more powerful every year. So if we look at the hard trends that are shaping the future, we can start seeing how to innovate with low risk because hard trends give you certainty in an uncertain world. And when you have certainty, you have the confidence to make a bold move. So innovating with hard trends has low risk. Because, by the way, if you don't do it, someone else will. I'd like to say the cost of not doing it is more expensive than the cost of doing it. Because if you don't do it, you'll lose relevancy and customers because someone else will. And again, that's where looking at these trends and this trends list is so important. And by the way, I've mentioned the trends list. You could always go to Burrus, BURRUS.com/see the future and download it for free. Or you could go to 25, that's the number, 25techtrendsreport.com and download it if you're curious. And I know we're going to get into some of them in a little bit here.
You know, Dan, I looked at a video just on, it was on podcast or something, and it showed a young man with some crazy shorts on, and he had a banjo or something, and he was jumping around, and everybody's looking at him like he's really weird. And then all of a sudden, he's got a friend of his that joins in and starts dancing around and jumping around. I think it was on YouTube. Pretty soon, there's 5 people, 10 people. The whole beach all of a sudden starts dancing with this guy. And the whole idea was, how do you get people to be followers? That you can have all the greatest ideas in the world, but if you can't get people to follow you, if you can't get people to believe in you, your idea isn't going to go anywhere. So how does a business owner, with that example, how does he or she embrace what you're talking about and get this company, get other people to follow what this hard trend or what this innovative idea that they have is?
Well, that's another great question. As you know, on LinkedIn, for example, I've got 1.2 million followers, not to mention all the other online platforms. And but there's a difference between a follower and an influencer. You can have a lot of followers, but you're not influencing to do something. So I have a lot of followers on LinkedIn and other platforms because I'm giving people empowering, great information that can help them. I'm not withholding. I'm giving them great ideas that can help them. And what happens is they start saying, wow, this is really helpful. Let me tell my buddy about this. Let me tell my friend about that. And that's how you start getting viral. Now, I could get viral, just doing weird stuff and not teaching anybody something. But I'm not influencing them. I'm just getting followers. And I could influence them to buy something they may not need. And a lot of people do that. But I see a higher calling for myself, and I would like all of us to elevate our calling, and that is to influence people to elevate what they do, how they think, and what they can create, empower them. That is probably the best type of influencer, because then you're getting people to, matter of fact, I've done a lot where I've called it impact and wealth creation. And let's just take the word impact one more time, and that because I just mentioned it quickly. For businesses, I know you've got a probably have a vision statement, probably have a mission statement. Do you have an impact statement? By the way, I bet you don't. The impact that you will have is the most important, more important than those other two. If you don't know what your impact is, you may not have an impact. So as an influencer, I need to know what my impact has got to be for everything I do, because I want a positive impact. I want to impact people and empower them.
Different than a strategic plan.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you've got a strategy, that may not have any impact.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You can have a vision statement, and that vision may not have an impact. It may or may not. We all have to wait and see. But if you know specifically what the impact is, like in your office, we're in your office doing this right now. You have a beautiful office. Well, what's the impact you'll have on every person that comes in? If you know that and all of your employees know that, it's likely to happen, isn't it?
Yes. My guest today is Dan Burrus. And I have to say, Dan and I have been friends for a really long time. And one of the things I love about doing this show is I learn so much. So I am going to go out there and get an impact statement.
Well, there
you go.
Because
you are absolutely right. I don't. But what I love about our conversations, Dan, is you stimulate my mind to think about something that I haven't thought about before. And it's almost like looking through a totally different lens. And that is really exciting. And I can understand why when you're looking at this AI and you're looking at all these different things, you get excited because you can see what most people don't see.
And you don't have to be a scientist or a technologist. Let's face it. Those of us that have smartphones, probably everybody listening to this, you don't have to know the physics of the smartphone, do you? No. You just have to have it and creatively use it. So, again, when you look at this list and you download it, you don't have to be the technologist. I want you to be thinking, how might this impact me? How could I use it to positively impact others? Those are the better questions.
Dan, I'm looking at one of the things that you send me every week. And by the way, you can go to burris.com/see the future, or you can go to 25techtrendsreport.com. I get these amazing reports, and one of them, it says, the secret to turning inevitable disruption into profitable growth. And I know that this is part of your trends, and so let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about that. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we're located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F. We're in the Ridgeview Corporate Park Center, and Dan mentioned how beautiful our offices are. I would love to invite you to stop in and take a look at them. We're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies, and we have the opportunity to service our clients and meet with our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. My guest today, again, is Dan Burris, and he is a leading technology forecaster and a disruptive innovator. And he also is the author of 6 different books, and you can learn more by going to right at
just Burris, go right to burris.com. There you go. B-U-R-R-U-S.com.
And I'll tell you, he has so many wonderful things that you can sign up for. The one thing about Dan is that he shares everything. I was in an industry when I was a stockbroker, nobody would share anything. Everybody was afraid that if you share it, they're going to lose it. And my opinion and my philosophy always was that there's enough people out there to work with that you don't have to worry about sharing. And nobody can really ever copy who I am. They can do it differently, but they can't copy who I am. And Dan, you're wonderful about sharing all your ideas and helping this world be motivated to do something a little bit different and not get stagnated. And I think you talked a little bit earlier about retirement or a new business. The last thing that I want to do is get stagnated.
Yeah, exactly. You want to grow.
I want to grow.
Yeah.
Always.
And look at, define what growth means. Just like as we get older, we have to redefine what success means. Because success 20 years ago may be different than success today. So another thing we might do is revisit our definition of success and make sure it fits the place that I'm in right now. Because whether you're 60, 70, 80, or whatever it might be, success does tend to change over time. Have we even thought of what that is?
So I'm going to ask you, this is the big question that I get asked all the time. So as you go into retirement, do you stop building? Do you stop being innovative? Is this the time where I think of my grandfather sat on a rocking chair on a front porch? So many people just quit. They retire and quit, and they don't recognize what they've got inside of them.
Yeah, I don't like to judge others. If they want to do that, that's their choice. It doesn't mean they'll be happy and fulfilled, but again, it is a choice. What brings you happiness? And one of the things that I've seen for people as they get older is being of service to others. Now, that could be a grandkid. That could be a neighbor. It could be volunteering. When you're of service to others, it is so powerful. I learned that lesson when I was quite young, when I was in junior high starting in about seventh grade, I guess. I talked my parents, who were in Wisconsin, put me on a train. I went down to Texas, got on a bus, went into where my grandmother was out in the middle of nowhere. And there were farms where all the young people were gone. It was subsistence farming. And what I did is I volunteered to help anybody who needed help. And I was working every day in the hot Texas sun in the summer. And I wasn't making any money. I wasn't while I was there. And I learned the power of being of service to others. And by the way, I did not have an adult kid relationship with them, did I? Not at all. When you're there doing hard work and volunteering to do whatever they need, it creates a special bond. So anyway, consider being of service to others. It is amazingly empowering.
Can you imagine if everybody made a commitment to impact one person in this world, what a difference it would make? Just one.
Yeah, exactly. I like to think of random acts of kindness.
Yes.
And just, you know, find ways of doing a random act of kindness. You know, you're buying your meal, and maybe you buy the person next year's meal too, just for the heck of it. Or, you know, you're going through a toll gate and you pay the person's toll behind you as well. You know, just simple things like that, just to brighten people's day. It's all so amazing.
It is. Well, I'm not going to take too much more time away from talking about the hard trends and why we think that businesses really do need to understand how to implement them into their lives. And as I said, you talked about the secret of turning inevitable disruption into profitable growth.
Yes, and if we take a look at, let's just take one of the 25 trends that when you first read it, you might say to yourself, oh, that sounds really difficult, but I want you to understand why it's not, and that is augmented thinking and moving. Now, you might think, boy, that sounds complex. Of course, I have a description of what that means. Let me just tell you what that means. Let's take the augmented thinking part. That's the future of how we're going to work with AI. You see, let me give you an example. Let's say you know somebody that has cancer. You're probably going to need an oncologist. That's a doctor that treats cancer. And right now, AI has absorbed and learned everything there is to know about cancer treatments. It knows every chemotherapy that's ever been done, every X-ray, every MRI. It's just absorbed all of that. No human doctor can keep that in their head. So if you know someone with cancer, I'm going to give you three choices. One, a really good oncologist. Two, just AI. Three, a really good oncologist that has access to AI. That's called augmented thinking. We're augmenting the thinking of the doctor by giving them access to something they can't keep in their head, but we're adding the human part to the AI. It's AI and humans working together. So we're going to increasingly get coaching and help from AI. Someone asked me a couple of years ago, will humans be replaced by AI? And my answer was, humans will be replaced by humans using AI. But that doesn't mean we don't need humans. It helps us accomplish things much faster than ever before, but it doesn't do it all for us. So I mentioned augmented thinking. That's how AI, I'm giving you a quick idea of how that can help augment us. So you might even be thinking in business, how could we use augmented thinking for our retail store? And you might think, well, maybe what we do is we get a little ear thing that goes to their iPhone with a little app that helps them, called the closer, that helps them close a sale. That could really help our sales reps. You see what I mean? It's augmenting their thinking. I still need a sales rep. I still need the relationship. We live in a human world, but I want to help them to help this customer and maybe close the sale or maybe give them a better idea. Or maybe know if something's in inventory. A lot of people don't even know it's in inventory. But if they had that, they would know instantly. Is this in inventory? Yes, it's inventory. Good, we have that in stock right now. See, I can answer the question for you right now. I'm just giving you a quick example. But let's take augmented movement. And that is, they're called exoskeletons. These are now very thin little exoskeletons that can go, you kind of put them on like a jacket and like pants. So a 90-pound nurse in Japan can lift a 180-pound patient into a bed without hurting herself or straining herself. It's giving you extra strength. So let's just look at people when they get into their 80s and 90s. Sometimes they fall and break a hip or worse. A lot of that is because their ankles and their legs are kind of weak and more feeble, and they aren't in as well a control. They can't stop themselves from falling if they get started. If we had a exoskeleton that they put on, kind of like a sock, that went up to their knee around their foot, and then they put their shoe on, that could give them the stability of a 20-year-old. we could stop a lot of people from falling and hurting themselves. Now, let me ask you, that does not exist, that application of it does not exist right now. Now, I want you in your, right now, listen to this, ask yourself, will that never happen? And you already know, yes, it will, because if it can be done, it will be done. And by the way, I just revealed how you can innovate with low risk. By the way, any of you right now could say, you know what, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to do that. And you could win because it's available right now. That's why this list of 25 tech trends is so powerful. You could create an app to help your sales reps or to help somebody else using augmented thinking. You could use, whatever. Again, look through the list. It's just amazing.
Well, I'm looking at this one here, Mr. and Digital Twins, ARVR, Mr. and Digital Twins, virtual reality, augmented reality, and digital twins will shift from rapid evolution to revolutionary applications.
Yeah, unbelievable there. So let's talk about a digital twin. We can make a digital twin of anything. Now, what does that mean? Well, we can make a digital twin of you. So here's what we're already going to be doing, and that is making a, if you need a surgery, we'll make a digital twin of you, taking all of your x-rays, all your MRIs, all of this stuff, make a digital twin, perform this surgery digitally on the digital twin of you first to see if it works, to see if everything functions well, to see if there's any problems. Or if I'm building a building, why don't I build the digital twin of the building first to make sure we like it, and then use virtual reality and walk through the building. See if we like how it looks, if we like where everything is before we build it, so we can pre-solve problems before they happen. If we're building a bridge, we could make a digital bridge of that. You could even make a digital twin of an investment portfolio. I'm giving you an idea now, Karen. And then you could run scenarios on that. We're doing kind of like that now, but you could actually elevate that to a higher level. So digital twins, again, is going to be huge.
We're going to take a quick break. My guest today is Dan Burris, and as I said earlier, he's a leading technology forecaster. He speaks to companies all over the world and helps them to really determine what are some of the ways that they can look at their business in a unique way. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you would like to put a face with a voice, you can go to ellenbecker.com. My guest today is Dan Burris, and he is a leading technology forecaster. He has written 6 books. He is a disruptive innovator. And you can go to burris.com, and you can download all kinds of great information. Dan, one of the things that I was looking at that you had sent me was, and I was looking at it in my own idea of my own business, is what should business leaders know about AI right now?
All right. Number one, you're underestimating it right now. It's more powerful than you realize. It can do more for you right now than you realize, and it's growing and changing at beyond exponential rates. So let me put something out, because here's something I've found working with businesses everywhere. There's a lot of people that don't like it or are afraid of it and are just kind of putting the brakes on. And here's what I would say. AI can do amazingly horrible things, and it can do amazingly wonderful things. I would suggest everybody listening to this radio broadcast is a good person. I'm going to just make that assumption. I think it's probably valid. Why don't we use AI to do amazingly wonderful things as we protect ourselves from the people that are doing amazingly bad things? And a quick way to protect yourself is to have a zero trust mentality, meaning if I get a text from my bank, already I don't trust it. If I get an email from some company telling me I have to do something, I don't trust it. What I'll do instead is look up their official number, call them, and see if it was real or not. So in other words, let's protect ourselves, but let's not keep ourselves from doing amazing things. And the first two tech trends I have on my list is generative AI and agentic AI, which are happening right now. And I'll just do a quick example of what those are for those of you that are maybe newer into it. And part of what I call this in my Tech Trends report is the productivity revolution. So we have a major productivity revolution happening right now, and AI is bringing it to us. And by the way, here's an interesting thing. If the productivity of a nation, think United States, increases, and usually it can increase by maybe 1% or 2%, you actually can decrease the deficit through increased productivity. It's a way to decrease the deficit. I won't go into the science of that, but it does work. Well, we got a revolution right now. We could actually decrease the deficit if we all embraced using these for productivity. And how do we do it? We automate the things that are the most boring. Every one of you does a lot of boring stuff, a lot of repetitive tasks. And in the past, if we went to our IT department and said, I want you to automate all my boring tasks, they would say, sorry, we're busy, right? We got other bigger fish to fry than you. But today, you could get a free AI, or at the most, maybe pay $20 a month and be joining the productivity revolution right now for yourself and create things to help you do things faster. So generative AI, I'd like you to think of it as it's all about creating. If you need to create code let's say, creating software, it can create code for you. It can actually design it for you. You need to create a website, it can do that for you as well. You can just tell it what you want it to do, and it'll function and it'll work, and then you can refine it and tell it how you want it to function. It can create photos that are photorealistic. It can create music. It can create voices. It can create videos. It's about creating, all right? And I want you to think of it as it gets you 80% faster, super fast, not 100%. It's a first draft digital assistant, not a last draft. So if you're used to being stuck thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do, go to AI first, see what it says, know that it's not giving you the answer, it's giving you part of the answer, and then now you tap into your humanness and all that you know, which is far more than what AI knows on a human level, and tweak it to get it to where you want it to be. So generative AI is about creating. The other kind is agentic AI, coming from the word agent. And it is about doing. So if you need to get something done, agentic AI can do that. It doesn't create, it gets things done. And often it will get a number of other little AIs to work together as a little team that you don't even have to do. It'll figure that out to accomplish what you want it to do. I'll give you an example. There are, and Karen, you might have already done this, and that has been in a autonomous taxi. They're in several cities now, like Phoenix. An autonomous taxi does not have a driver. So that's an example of agentic AI. It's not one AI driving the taxi. There's AI for looking for visuals to see if there's anything walking out or a kid walking in front of the car. It's got a whole bunch of different AIs that are being designed to do what? To do something. And what's it trying to do? Get you from point A to point B. So agentic AI and generative AI. And if you want to know what are the tools that are both free and very low fee to help me be far more productive, there's another free resource I can give you right now. And that is if you go to the AIStrategyReport.com, that's on my website again. You can download my list of all of the different apps that I've looked over 1,500 and found the top five in a number of different categories. You can, if you get that report, if you like one, you can click on it and it'll take you right to where that app is. So it'll give you the top five in a whole bunch of categories and case studies of how businesses are using them to join the productivity revolution. And it'll give you how to write really great prompts, all kinds of things. I'm giving it to you for free. Doesn't cost you anything. If you'd like to really join the productivity revolution, hint, you should. Download. Go for it.
Dan, we only have about a minute left. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I said a little bit earlier, I don't want you to be a passive receiver of the future. I want you to be an active shaper of the future for yourself and for others, creating a better future for yourself and for others. And technology lets you solve impossible problems, do things you didn't even know you could do. Take a look at this report. Look through all 25 of them, and I go into detail of in a non-technical way of what they do, and just have your opportunity antenna up, looking, is there an opportunity for me in my career so I can elevate my relevance, or in my business? Is there a way I can gain a new competitive advantage from one of these? Hint, there is. And take the time, look for opportunities. And at the end of the report, I even show you a little step-by-step process of what you should do with them.
Thank you, Dan. My guest today is Dan Burris. He's a leading technology forecaster and disruptive innovator, and he is the author of 6 books. Please go to burris.com. So much great information, and you can also get to the technology hard trends shaping 2026, and you get it in 2025. And as always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great day. Bye-bye.